From the Old National Bank State Street Studio.
You're listening to Waddle and Sylvie on ESPN 1000.
WMVP, WSHE HD2, Chicago.
Chicago's home for sports.
A Good Karma Brands radio station.
Thanks for listening, calling, and participating in today's show. Thank you to Courtney Cronin for joining us with an excellent report. Thank you to Randy Merkin and Chris Black. And Chris is off to Europe for a little while. He is going to enjoy his European vacation with his wife. We'll see you in a couple weeks, buddy. Have a fun trip.
Yeah,
jealous. Very jealous. It's the way to do it. Time for Crosstalk, brought to you by Club Hawthorne. Waddle and Sylvie are here. They are going to get you home on this beautiful Wednesday afternoon.
I saw the rundown of the show.
There's
already
a lot to talk about.
What's on it?
We've got our Leatherwood going.
Kurt Warner sound. You guys going to break that down?
The Kurt Warner video was next level good.
Yeah.
You know, I was saying a year ago, it goes to show just how fast it happens, what these quarterbacks, the good ones, like
what, process.
How quickly they have to process everything and what makes them special.
Got
to
dissect it, man.
Very fair in his evaluation as
very
well.
Very fair.
Told you where it was good and where it needs work.
Right, yep. Like, hey, ball's got to be out here, Justin. Ball's got to be out.
Yeah. Now, that's the part that we're going to play.
Yeah, ball's got to be out.
The breakdown of that. And then I also thought on a couple of good plays, positive plays, that he still said, here's why. Or what I want to know what he was thinking on this play, even though it netted a good outcome, I still have some questions about why he did this.
And I think that Kurt's incentive for that message is that when you are actually playing in regular season games with better players, not going to look like this. Like the corner route he threw to the tight end, the first touchdown pass, is a beautiful
good
throw.
Good read, too.
But the corner... A starting corner probably...
Greg Newsom.
Yes. Or Denzel Ward. Probably will bait you into making that throw, and maybe it doesn't get to where it's supposed to. So, listen, I'm not trying to be negative about it, but I think Kurt Warner did a brilliant job of telling you where it is good and where it needs to improve.
It's good. There was a lot of, if you love football and if you love tape, there was some good stuff this morning to get you all lathered up.
It's not too football-y either.
It was actually just kind of layman's terms.
Yes. Talk to a guy like Sylvie, you know?
I don't understand.
I'm sorry, we all can't be as football
fun with you.
As football bright as you.
That's right.
The good kid.
Well, then the other story was the Ringer story on Justin Herbert.
Oh, I read that too.
Good Lord in heaven. Yeah. Just the kid is.
I don't care. I don't care about LA's quarterback.
right, Sylvie? I mean, Jesus.
I can't wait for Red Zone to watch all the West Coast games.
With the porn portion of that, the football porn portion of it, you can look at the stats. Over 5,000 yards and 32 touchdowns, or whatever his touchdown
38.
Passes. 38 touchdown passes.
A lot of touchdowns.
It's how he gets to it is what's most impressive.
You.
And the process
that's
by
the
which...
That's the porn.
Yes. Like, if you are a diehard football fan and you like the process to watch them describe both, you know, writing it, interviews... And with the use of tape to watch,
it's next level.
So I haven't read it yet. It's worth reading.
Dude. But like you said, you look forward to West Coast. Week 2, Thursday Night Football, is Chargers-Chiefs. I mean, that's why this league is so great.
Your coach's going to miss out on it.
Why is he going to miss out?
Maybe he'll see it at the bar because he won't watch Amazon.
Oh, he'll go to a bar. He'll go to the bar.
Yeah, I already told you I'm going to the bar.
Well, you can't miss that. Chiefs and Chargers in Week 2.
I'll be at the pub.
You know?
Enjoying myself. Having a
cocktail. That's why we get all giddy over football. It's stuff like that.
That's right. You know? Exactly.
Right out of the gate. So, it's good football
it's
porn
be
stuff.
Good, man.
I set the bar way too low. My over-under on number of new Bears that would be part of the team.
Six. Wow.
I said 3.5. I think we all figured that this roster is going to be fluid for quite some time. I mean, they're going to add.
In and out.
Six guys.
There might be a revolving door at Hallis, right?
I don't know much about any of them, but I like another kid. Well, a kid from Minnesota had 5 or 6 sacks last year.
Oh, did he?
Yeah.
The
defensive tackle that they claimed from Minnesota had some production.
Are they all young players, too? Yeah, all six guys young?
Yeah. The tight end is going into his fourth year. I think
otherwise,
he's more of a blocking tight end.
Otherwise, you can't claim him. Otherwise, they would be free agents.
Right. Otherwise, that's true. They'd be free agents.
They all have to be under 4 years of
experience. It would have been nice, but O.J. Howard's a vested veteran, so he got the pick where
he wants. Ask these guys the important question. on whether the fifth-year option stays for Leatherwood.
Yeah, do you guys know what is that? What happens with that, with the deal?
Like, no clue.
Does the fifth-year option stay with?
I would think so, because I don't know.
Because he got claimed off of waivers?
Yeah,
because
the Bears think so. The contract's the right, and the Raiders pay the guarantees, and the Bears pay year to year.
Right. Like, we assumed his contract. By we, I mean the Bears, right?
Because so that fifth-year option travels with the contract.
That's the reason why there were a lot of people that didn't think or thought it may not. Some may not claim him, that he would go unclaimed, and then he would become a free agent, so you wouldn't have to honor his contract.
So what do you guys think? Oh, sorry, go ahead.
Yeah, I got it right here. The Bears will inherit what's remaining of Leatherwood's contract, which is 3 years left of $5.9 million. That's fully guaranteed, and they have the right to pick up his fifth-year option.
There you go. Charlie Bevins.
It's in the report.
What do you guys think? Like a good buy-low opportunity, so to speak, and a talented kid?
I see no negative to it.
Right.
None. None. Listen.
Right. Even if you can't
bring in talented players, right?
I said this from the jump. They've got a plan, and they don't give a rat's ass if you agree with it, like it, dislike it, whatever else. They don't get emotional about it.
He don't care.
When everyone screamed after day one of the draft, you didn't give Justin enough to work with. They were like, you know what? We had Gordon and we had Brisker as the guys that were the highest rated guys on our board. This is what we did. They've got a plan. Whether or not 3 years down the road it will bear fruit, I don't know. But they have stayed committed to their plan, and they're going to bring people in, and they're going to build this roster. The 11 of their 12 draft picks made their roster prior to whatever, you know, was going to be done with the addition of the six guys they claimed. They're going to have young guys. There's not going to be a ton of experience. I don't care what their record is this year.
Build me a damn football team.
Because I have lowered expectations. Whatever their win total is their win total. Build me something that is going to be a foundation for years to come. So when next year kicks in and you got a full complement of your picks, you got $100 million to spend in free agency, you've got a foundation to build upon. There are going to be some bumps. Their top line talent level doesn't stack up with a lot of the better teams. Think about it now as well. You've added a lot of young, inexperienced guys. So your depth isn't there either.
Right.
You get a couple of injuries, and now you're playing guys that had,
cast-offs.
Correct. So that's not a bad thing. That's not. Don't get me wrong. I'm not suggesting that's a negative. That's just when you're factoring how good will they be in 2022. I don't give a rat's ass.
And then if Leatherwood fails, what are you worse off for?
Nothing.
Nothing. You're the bottom level. Think about this. Ryan Pace was wrong about a lot of stuff. All general managers are going to miss. All of them. But what Ryan Pace did is he put all his eggs in one basket. He would buy high on every one of these guys. He couldn't get Trubisky at 3. He had to get Trubisky at 2 and give up more stuff for him. He didn't just have to go get Nick Foles. He had to give up a 4th-round pick for Nick Foles and guarantee him 3 years of salary. What about Anthony Miller? Right,
you move up to Anthony Miller.
You gave away a pick the following year to go get Anthony Miller. It's okay to be wrong. It's fine, but when you put all your eggs in one basket and you continually buy high on everybody, it's going to cost you even more when you fail. So now if Leatherwood is no good, what'd you give up?
You gave up nothing.
Right. You got room in this year's salary. Yeah.
That's right.
You got room.
Yes.
You got
room to absorb it.
You got to pay.
And that's it.
And you move on, and then you try and find somebody else.
And listen, at the very least, you brought in a kid that's got some talent. Now,
and nothing else, Carm, has been gifted to anyone. We've seen that. How they handled the Roquan Smith thing.
Yeah.
How they handled the Tevin Jenkins thing. Even how they're handling the guard situation. Eberflus said yesterday, if I'm not mistaken, when Lucas Pachter comes back from the hand injury, he may play guard. Like, they're going to find guys that fit what they want to do. They're going to be no gifts. They're going to be no guarantees to anybody. And they're really not going to care how people grumble and gripe about it. And to me, that's
refreshing.
It's compelling and refreshing to me.
Compelling and rich.
Yes.
Yeah, build a football team like Silver
said. As I said yesterday, Carm.
That's the goal this year.
Build a football team.
It's nice not to hate your team before the regular season kicks off.
It is.
It's a fresh feeling.
Build a team and hopefully develop the quarterback.
Yeah.
Get him better. And if that happens, we'll feel pretty good in December, even if they have 6 wins. You know?
That's, no question.
That's the truth.
Again, the 6 wins to me is inconsequential.
Yeah.
Of course I'd love to win more than you lose.
Sure. It could be the greatest six-win team we've ever had in Chicago if things are going in the right direction.
Or it could be the most meaningless 8- or 9-win team you've ever seen.
Well, we've been through that.
The Ryan Pace and Matt Nagy
team.
We've
already done that.
That got to the postseason in Mitch's final year here. And what were, I mean, the only reason you got there is because they added an extra playoff spot.
Been there, done that. Yeah.
Speaking of that, I got my top 10 Chicago sports most disappointing seasons over the last 25 years. And I texted you about one team.
Yeah, one of them.
The White Sox do have a presence on my list.
Yeah, they do.
I will tell you that. And
rightfully so.
And at 3, I'm going to unveil that list.
That's his baseball bias.
So what, you went back to the 90, well, you went back to 1998?
97. Well, right? This is 2022, so if we're going back 25 years?
97.
Yeah.
So we go back to 97.
97. 0-7 start for your Chicago Bears that year.
Yeah, that's right. Jeez.
How the hell do you remember
Dick Turan?
I remember because I predicted it.
Did you?
Yeah, I went on with the Heavy Fuel crew over on the other station.
Yeah.
And I was talking to them, and I said, not for nothing, fellas, but if you looked at the Bears' schedule, there's a chance, an outside chance they go, and say, you're full of it.
That was not the year you guys opened up against them, was it? That was 98?
Year later.
That was 98.
Glenn Melbourne.
I predicted that. When I went 0-7, I called in, and I laughed.
You were laying the groundwork to become the good kid in Chicago. Hire me, Mac.
And you know what that did? Hey.
Were you gambling at that time?
No. I was still in the league. I was in Jacksonville.
He still doesn't gamble.
Do you know what that led
to?
Only
in cards.
Do you know what that led to?
An illustrious career.
When I do gamble, I gamble
horses
on DraftKings.
Horses and cards.
Yeah. I gamble on DraftKings. When I do gamble. That's true. Yes, absolutely.
Horses, cards,
just remember
we
that.
We all do.
Yeah.
You'd be stupid not to play DraftKings.
I called in to tell him I told you what was going to happen, didn't I?
You did.
This is breaking news on Chicago's home for sports. ESPN 1000.
What is this?
So this is from Nightingale. Chicago White Sox manager Tony La Russa will be out indefinitely while undergoing further testing with his personal doctors in Arizona.
He was in his uniform before the game. He talked to Jesse.
Unknown amount of time. That's what
indefinite means.
None of us would be surprised if he managed his last game now, right?
No, based on
every circumstance. Look, we said this at the time. Even if he did have his wits about him, what does a 78-year-old want to do this for?
Mentally and physically. There's no way it's just not a job for a 78-year-old.
No, it's not.
We hope he's well. I hope he emerges from this.
Any ill will.
And lives 20 more years and can sit in Arizona and enjoy the rest of his life.
You know, there's two 70-year-old NFL coaches.
Pete is one.
And isn't Belichick 70?
He might be close.
Belichick was 70.
Listen, what's happening in Seattle, I don't know how long he is for that spot.
They traded him away, right?
But Bill Belichick has entrusted the future of his young quarterback with a former defensive coordinator and failed head coach.
There you go.
Like, you got to start to wonder if even Belichick. Bill.
Bill's 70.
Nightingale's got his. He's tapped into the White Sox stuff, isn't he?
Oh yeah.
When it comes to Jerry and Tony. That's your go-to
With
guy.
That in mind, last night was another poo show.
Yes, it was.
But were there more pitching decisions and changes made last night than there have been in the calendar month of August?
Probably.
Prior to last night?
Yeah.
Like, and it didn't really always work out.
No, it didn't.
But it felt like there was a plan.
The inning got away from Tanner Banks, and that hurt. I mean, they were close. Close is not good enough. But then it felt like
there was kind of a plan.
Like, I was looking at Tony yesterday, and I was saying, why does a 78-year-old want to dress up in a baseball uniform every day? Like, just the concept of that. He's almost 80, and he's dressing up like he's a baseball player.
You know he wore a cup, too.
No, he did. What's Dusty's get up? With the gloves now and the wristbands, the toothpicks?
He's got everything. He's got the mask and his gloves.
What are the gloves for? The germs?
Germs.
Yeah, I'm sure it's... Isn't he immune compromised because he's had cancer a couple of times?
I think Dusty is, yeah. So he's got all of his shots and his boosters, and he told us gloves and mask all the time.
What do the wristbands do?
Well, that's always been Dusty's thing. He's always had the wristbands.
You gotta wipe the brow.
You gotta keep the
brow. Listen, I always wore wristbands so I could throw them to the crowd.
We'll see.
When you Johnny come in, crowd pleaser, yeah.
They chuck him into the shade. Making kids' dreams
come
true.
Come on, show me a picture of you with wristbands.
Go ahead, take a look at it. Mark Clayton used to wrap one on top of the other, on top of the other. It looked like one big sleeve going up his kids? Arms. Then he'd just sit and chuck them off, and he'd come back out for the second half. He'd have
I don't see any
lift.
Gloves on that strapping young lad. I see some elbow braces. I see some gloves.
Well, if you'd listen for a half a heartbeat, you got to find some Green Bay pictures.
There's
where
one.
I might
that's
have
not. That's not.
That's one picture. Keep going back.
Is there a picture of you wearing the Rolex that Reggie White gave you?
Saranac. The Saranac Glove Company. No, it's tape. The Saranac Glove Company was our supplier of gloves before Newman. Remember when Newman came out with the tacky gloves? Yeah. And our wristbands. So our wristbands in Green Bay were always free, and they came right down from down the street on Military Avenue. So we'd have gobs on gobs of gobs. I'd always wear them, chuck them into the stands.
Look at the good kid dishing knowledge right here in this picture. Back in the young days. Look at that, dishing knowledge.
Let's see.
Look at the kid. Look at him. Look at
wasn't
him.
He handsome, wasn't he? Look at him.
Totally.
Right here?
Yeah.
Where's that
below? Handsome.
The other picture was from Hawaii when we were out there for the Pro Bowl. I don't know how Mac did it, but he convinced them to send us to Hawaii.
Yeah. Amazing.
Don't know how.
Jedi mind tricks. Send us to Hawaii for the Pro Bowl.
And then we went to the store, and we had a fishing trip planned.
Yeah.
And the program director at the time that was here that we all know didn't want to pay for it, so he wanted other guys to put it on their credit card because they knew they'd never get it back.
Oh, my God.
Well, look at that handsome
those trips are
right
expensive.
There. Look at that.
That's
look at
Tommy,
that.
Our radio listeners can't see that. Maybe
I'm talking to Carm. Look at this.
How handsome.
Carm, look at that.
What's he doing there?
He
can't see that, huh?
He's got like a Hollywood look on his face.
Look at him.
Like, I'm handsome.
Look at those arms.
Yeah, I'm handsome. You wish you were me. That's
back
what
in the
that
day.
Face
here,
says.
Click on that one.
Look at that one.
That's a strike.
Yeah, that is.
Yerk, are you going to Bears Packers week two, Sunday night?
I don't know. I've got a wedding the night before, so I'll be at a wedding up in Michigan Way.
Maybe icing your head down the day after.
I don't know
after.
If that's going to
be. Can you take a ferry across Lake Michigan for
if
that?
If you go up to Ludington, Michigan, you could take a ferry across to Manitowoc, Wisconsin.
There you go.
And then take a trip up that way.
I'll be there. I'm in. I already got my ticket.
Randomly, Sylvie and I with Tom Ricketts.
Yeah.
Really?
Back in the day when Tom Ricketts used to talk.
Would talk to us.
Yes, when he would explain what's going on with the team.
Look at that. That's pretty funny.
Don't worry.
Good times.
When you get Shohei.
Good times.
Come on, and I'll blow
a lot of photos, Tommy.
Yeah, you're right, Johnny. You were handsome. You're handsome.
John Yurkovich nudes. See what comes up.
Okay, nudes.
Yeah, see what comes up.
John. Oh, Jesus.
We just violated the law.
How did that come up?
I don't know.
Is it from his vacation when he's sitting on the deck?
My eyes have been pierced. Tommy.
Who was that?
Thank God it's your time. You've been violated.
Who was that?
Don't know.
Did you?
No. It didn't come up John Yurkovich nudes.
No, it did not.
It just came up nudes.
Wait. Didn't Yurko send us once via text?
Oh, yeah.
A naked picture of him, like, in the Bahamas.
I was smoking
a cigar. Yes.
I was naked, but you couldn't see I was naked. It looked like I was wearing shorts because I sunk down in a chair. I told you guys I was naked.
No,
yes.
Yeah, that's right. You couldn't see anything,
right,
but there
didn't
he was.
See anything. And I had the cigar.
Except his chest and his belly.
Yeah.
Did you hear?
Boiler. My boiler. This is where all the good stuff happens.
Boiler.
There was a Waddle's World story yesterday about a pilot who got on the intercom of a Southwest plane.
Yeah,
I heard this. People were sending him
nudes, airdropping
nudes. Airdrops. You know, when you airdrop, it will give you a menu of all the people who have the iPhones who are within shouting distance. And I guess people were airdropping the pilot nude picture.
And
why?
Carm,
I don't know.
Just like your dad used to say when you and your brothers were fighting in the back seat of the station wagon as you were about to leave for a family vacation. Don't make me turn this car around. He basically got on the intercom and was like, listen, if you guys don't stop this, we're going to pull this thing back to the gate. We're going to just,
Can you imagine that?
No, that's pretty wild.
Yeah. Sending him nudes. They were on their way to Cabo. The plane. It was a Southwest plane on their way to Cabo.
I missed that story.
Yeah.
All right, boys. So we got.
So remember, Bleck. Is Bleck still here?
No, he's gone.
Don't be sending nudies to the
don't
pilot.
Don't be airdropping nudies
to the pilot.
To the pilot.
So do you guys believe, like, that Tony, even if he checks out, that they're just going to say Tony.
You got five weeks left.
Tony, you come back for the last weekend trip. Whenever the last homestand is, we'll retire your number. You know, we'll give you
his number.
Something. I don't.
For what?
I'd rather them do that than have him manage the team.
No, I don't think he will. I don't think he will. He probably
is. He done?
Yeah, I would think so. And you can't do next year. Look, Nightingale already hinted at that last week. Anyway, he's going to be 79 years old. It's. I'm sorry. It's not the job for someone.
This is
that
when
age.
You pick
it
up just like isn't. Macrame or something
it's,
like that.
It's time to move on.
Macrame. No, it was a bad idea. My dad plays golf four times a week. He's the same age. That's what you do. You play golf in the afternoon. Well, you're asleep golf. In your chair at 6
right.
o'clock.
It was a bad idea
trust
when they hired
him.
It was.
And it turned out to be worse than any of us could have imagined.
It's even worse. You got to end it and let him live out the rest of his life in a little bit more peace without the daily stresses.
Well, it's not about letting
managing a baseball.
He's got to determine that this. I mean, he's the one that wanted to do this, right?
It's craziness.
I mean, we got to find out too. Like, hopefully, Jesse will get some news. He's at the ballpark today. What happened? Because Jesse told us the story that he was the last one to talk to Tony. Tony was walking off the field. Tony was on the field, did his pregame, was fine. Tony talked to Rick Hahn, was fine. Tony was walking off the field into the dugout. Him and Jesse had a nice conversation. And then the next thing you know is he was getting scratched for health reasons. Like, did something happen?
I have no idea. And we've asked around a little bit. Nobody really seems to know.
The players didn't know either,
players
right?
Players had no idea.
Yeah.
So we'll check in with Jesse. We've
been one of those years, man.
If you've missed Dan Durkin, he started his weekly with us. He's really good at breaking down the tape. He will join us at 4 to talk some Bears with us. Michael Wilbon today was in Ireland. See if he got any of that free food at the concessions.
Free right. beer.
Yeah, and see if he'll rip
you
up.
Big win for his cats.
Well, I'll ask him about the 17,000 at the South Side last night. See what he has to say about that, Carmen.
There you go. Tell him to worry about Coach Fitz and the cats.
He's counting everybody.
Hey, Carmen tells you to focus in on Coach Fitz and the cats this year, all right?
So if you want to talk to us, 312-332-3776. We'll tell you what people are saying about Alex Leatherwood. Could the Bears have found an
diamond
answer?
In the rough.
Yeah.
All right, boys. Waddle and Sylvie get you home next. We'll see you tomorrow. Have a great day, everybody.
You're listening to Waddle and Sylvie on ESPN 1000.
Chicago's home for sports.
Follow at Waddle and Sylvie and at TWaddle87 on Twitter.
All right, if you missed the breaking news, it's been a morning and then into the early afternoon of lots of breaking news. Bob Nightingale just had it. I retweeted it. Jesse has confirmed it, too, that Tony La Russa will be out indefinitely while undergoing further testing with his personal doctors in Arizona. Gave you the timeline. He did his media availability. Everything seemed fine. No one thought anything was weird about it, that the players were expecting him to manage. Jesse spoke to him one-on-one before he went back into the clubhouse. So then something happened, and we wish Tony well. We definitely want Tony to have a speedy recovery. We want him to be healthy. We never thought, like, the differences we're talking about in the sports context.
Yeah.
I don't think it was ever the right call to make him the manager, but we certainly want him to be healthy and be well and hope everything goes well in Arizona.
Just because you don't think it was the right hire doesn't mean you wish anybody ill will.
No.
So, yeah, of course we wish him a speedy recovery with regard to whatever he's dealing with.
Yes, so we will follow that story. Yesterday it was Miguel Cairo, the bench coach, who assumes the role of manager, if that will remain the same, if Jerry Nairn gets more of a shot, or if it's Cairo, and we'll see if there's any auditioning for next year.
They find themselves 6 back, I think, and 7 games back in the loss column at the time.
That's the big one. 7 in the loss column. Yeah. And I don't know what the hell has happened to Lucas Giolito. And then, like, he gave you a little hope in his last start before yesterday that maybe he had found some issues. And I think he had a pretty good outing his last time out. And
that has become, though, the exception, not the rule, as opposed to the way it used
to
be.
Right, but you were hoping that it would become more of a trend that, hey, he would figure some things out. And he has not done that. And the home run ball is just absolutely killing him.
6 starts in the month of August, 5.68 ERA.
Did he start the 21-5 game? Was he the starter in that game?
Houston? Yeah. Yes. So he gave up 7 earned runs in that game.
And remember, they saved a home run. A.J. Pollock made a home run saving catch in that game, too, early.
Yes.
Or else he would have given up a lot more. So
he has sprinkled in a couple of good starts in between.
What was his last start? Who was it against?
It was a 6 1/3 start against Baltimore where he gave up 4 hits and 1 earned run.
Like that was
struck out 3, walked 2.
Against a feisty team. Like, yeah. Okay, build on that. And then you come home again, Kansas City. They've struggled for 2 years in a row against Kansas City.
They're going to have some decisions. Listen, this team has got some decisions to make at the end of this year on a number of fronts.
Number of fronts.
He's one of them.
Yes. He wanted money.
Yeah.
Can't pay him now unless you buy low.
He's arbitration eligible, right? You'd go to arbitration with him again if you don't find common ground with him.
Right. It started out, first of all, he wanted a long-term deal. Second of all, they went to arb with him this year. I think they ended up settling.
Yes.
But they were $100,000 apart and they were bickering over that stuff, yes. Which I just think is a bad look.
I thought the White Sox looked bad.
Yeah, it's a bad look. Yeah. What's the point? Well, who cares? And you know, the guy who it was like that great story that at one time they did a commercial about it. He had one of the worst ERAs to becoming a Cy Young candidate. He was my Cy Young pick for 2021. He was sneakily pretty good last year. And then when the numbers basically settled, but this year has been a nightmare. An absolute nightmare for him.
Yeah, he's got an ERA north of 5. I mean,
I think out of all the qualified starters, the guys who qualify for most, I think he's 80-something out of 85.
My list here only goes up to 52, and he's anywhere close to it. Jose Berrios for Toronto has a 5.32, and I don't see Lucas on this list.
Where is he among qualified ERAs as far as having the worst ERA? He's towards the back, isn't he?
Yes, yeah, it would have to be. He's 5.27.
Yeah.
This year is what his ERA is.
So Tony La Russa, again, out indefinitely, according to Bob Nightingale. And then again, Jesse Rogers has confirmed that. Jesse will be on with us. We have him scheduled at 4:30. If anything breaks, he'll be on earlier if he gets any more information on Tony La Russa. What does this mean for the future now? With everything, again, I just think this would be a time where you just say they tried. His health is most important. Even if he does check out in Arizona, what's the point? Why continue to do this?
There's a lot of difficult decisions facing this franchise at the end of this season.
Yeah, you're going to have to tweak the team.
You're gonna have to tweak the everyday lineup.
Yep.
You have to look at your medical staff.
Yes,
your health and fitness guys.
I think you do a whole new program. I don't want to hear next year anymore that young players have tired legs playing baseball. This ain't the NBA playing 3 games in 4 nights while running 12 miles up and down the court. This is baseball. You bat 4 times and you stand stationary for most of the game. For goodness sake, to tired legs. With all these young players, Albert Pujols is hitting home run after home run at age 60. And the White Sox don't have one guy with as many home runs as he has.
It has been one of the more frustrating seasons, one of the more disappointing seasons, which led to giving you an assignment.
Yeah. So then the Bears today did work. You set the over-under at what for waiver claims?
3.5 was the total for waiver claims. Because remember, anything over that, they claimed 6 guys. That means you've got to remove over 10% of your roster. You get down to 53. You claim 6. You got to get rid of 6.
Yes.
You had to get rid of today more than 10% of yesterday's roster.
So they got rid of Tonga, the defensive lineman. He was a late-round pick last year, right? Big dude.
Yeah. Thought he had a couple of moments that were impressive. Thought he did a couple of nice
things. Bears got rid of some good players, too. They got rid of Zach Thomas and Joe Thomas. Those two guys can play. Zach Thomas with the Dolphins the years, and then Joe Thomas
should be in the Hall of Fame. I think Zach Thomas belongs in the Hall of Fame.
Obviously different guys.
Joe Thomas will go into the Hall of Fame.
Yeah. Ballot. Yes. Yeah. But these are different guys.
Different guys.
Joe Thomas is a linebacker. So the guys, they waived. Caleb Johnson, linebacker. Duke Shelley, defensive back. Zachary Thomas, the offensive lineman. And Tonga, the defensive lineman. This is interesting, too. Waddle sniffed this out. This is from the Bears press release today. Tajay Sharp has been placed on the reserve injured list, which the way we're interpreting this is he cannot return.
That would mean he's out all year. If you place a player on the injured list, injured reserve, at 3 o'clock or later today, that person has to sit for four games, but they're eligible to come back afterwards.
What happened to Sharp? I thought this was a week-to-week thing, not a year-long thing.
I felt the same. I'm not 100% sure, to be honest with you. I think Bigsy was reporting that N'Keal Harry is, in fact, expected to be placed on the IR after 3 o'clock, which would mean he'd be eligible to come back this year after 4 weeks away.
Right.
He had minor, again, minor, somebody else having it, not you. He had minor ankle surgery for a high ankle sprain. I don't even think he played in the preseason, right? Didn't get hurt in one of the last practices before first preseason.
It was like one of the first plays of a practice.
Yes. So he's, the way I'm reading this is that N'Keal Harry will be eligible to come back after week four. But if I'm reading this correctly as well, Tajae Sharpe would be out the entire year unless this is, you know, designated differently.
We were talking about Alex Leatherwood yesterday, not only because of that great last name. Alex Leatherwood played collegiately at Alabama. I've got some reports from him pre-draft. Both Mel Kiper and Todd McShay were high on him, but not as high as the Raiders were. They had him basically as a second rounder.
Late second rounder.
And they thought that he was more equipped to be a guard in the NFL, which he ended up playing with the Raiders.
Right.
He had tackle experience and guard experience at Alabama. He was drafted 17th overall by Gruden and Mayock. And he did end up playing, and I thought Carmen and Yurko did a really good job with this. He played every snap except like 30. Yes, he was highly penalized, but he played almost, he played, I think it was 1,105 snaps last year, which was all 17 games for them, and then in the postseason game.
Mm-hmm.
So they weren't like high enough to start him every single play through the coaching change and everything. Now, with the regime change, they have gotten rid of him. But again, this is a first or second, you know, early third round pick from a year ago that could be developed. And to me, it is absolutely worth the try. And the Bears claimed him and were rewarded.
Totally agree. Also, keep your eye on Armon Watts.
Yeah, I was going to read these names.
Yeah, well, he was claimed from the Minnesota Vikings. And last year, Watts had 5 sacks and 2 forced fumbles playing in every game with the Vikings last year. This is a guy that does have some NFL accomplishment as well that may be able to segue into a rotational role with this
team.
How
old is he and where was he drafted?
He was drafted in 2019 in the 6th round from Arkansas. He's 26 years old.
Okay. So as Waddle mentioned, Alex Leatherwood gets claimed. Armon Watts, the defensive lineman from the Vikings. Defensive back Josh Blackwell also claimed today. Defensive lineman Kingsley Jonathan, Sterling Weatherford, who is a linebacker.
A lot of great names for the players that they've claimed.
I think Tyler's got a story from Kingsley Jonathan, right? Don't you, Tyler?
Yeah,
on his name?
He was part of he came over in an alleged human trafficking scandal, and then his name. He came over here and he was Jonathan Kingsley, and then they found out his real name was actually Kingsley Jonathan.
That's a cool name, not cool on how he came over, but
the name itself. Yes,
yes, like the
Kingsley's a nice name.
Sterling Weatherford, as we mentioned, and then Trevin Wesco,
tight end.
By far, the Bears did more claiming than any other team in the NFL. Right? What was the second?
Did.
What was it like?
The Jets with 5.
Jacksonville also had 5, I think, too.
Yeah.
Now, also, something to note, as I'm sure many, because there's a number of Bears receivers that are hurt, I think there was some speculation that the Bears may be in the market to claim a receiver or two. Not one. They didn't get one. They didn't claim a single receiver.
We've learned that Ryan Poles doesn't believe in signing wide receivers.
Yes, that is true. But they have re-signed to the practice squad, Isaiah Coulter and your guy, Cymbal Webster.
Yes.
Both on the practice squad, which means, you know, you may find one or two of them elevated early in the year from the practice squad to the regular roster.
Thomas Graham got put on the practice squad, too. Chase Allen, the tight end that we saw.
at practice.
Well, this was, I mean, of all the players the Bears cut yesterday, none of them were claimed by other teams. Which you could draw. Well, you could draw whatever conclusion you want, but the moral of that story is it gave them the opportunity to bring back guys they were very familiar with back to their practice squad.
Yes.
And that's where a lot of these guys have come from.
Yeah, it shows you when they're claiming six guys and none of their guys they release get claimed. We know this, though. Yes. We know that it's a very bad, I don't know about very bad, but it's not a good roster when compared. Could they get more out of them than last year's coaching staff? Absolutely. Can they build us a football team with some of these young guys and develop?
We're hoping.
Like, the thing that we've loved about what they did with Tevin Jenkins, whether they like him or not, we still don't know because there are the rumors out there. He's on the team, and we like what they've been able to do to rectify that situation, where Tevin Jenkins now could be their starting right guard. He went from maybe a bust tackle, an injured guy, to, oh, we're going to play him, we're going to start him, we're going to develop him. And if they could do that with him, maybe they could do that with some other guys.
It's wise. They're not flush with talent. You need to keep guys that actually can show you that they can play and try to find ways to use them. Now, again, I think they've got a plan. If you don't fit in their plan and you don't want to be part of their plan, they don't have time for you. So we'll figure out or we'll find out exactly what's going on. I thought there were some interesting comments from Tevin Jenkins yesterday and from the team. I thought it was interesting to hear as well. Matt Eberflus, I think, met the media yesterday, and they were talking about Lucas Patrick. And I think, if I'm not mistaken, he mentioned that, yeah, he may play some guard when he comes back as well. They're open to anything with these guys. They're going to find a group of guys, whether it's on the offensive line, the defensive line, linebackers, the secondary, they're going to find a group. They're going to mix and match. They're going to try to find a little bit of flow with guys, and then they're going to go with it.
What do you think what the Bears did today? We also have a really good piece of sound from Kurt Warner today. And, man, the compliments are flowing. I don't think we've played the Keyshawn Johnson sound yet, comparing Justin Fields to Patrick Mahomes. And then we had a former NFL coach do that today, too.
Bridge too far for me right now, but you know what? Everyone's welcome to their opinions.
And then the breaking news again. Tony La Russa is out indefinitely. We had that originally from USA Today. Bob Nightingale, the first to report that. Out indefinitely, and he's getting tested from his doctors in Arizona. So we'll see where this goes. Has he managed his final game for the White Sox? We wish him well. And we will get you an update from Jesse Rogers. Much more coming up.
Hey, it's time to look towards Labor Day and start plotting out your game plan for a winning three-day weekend. If you're seeking out the tastiest things for your end-of-season fling, then swing over to your Jewel Osco. See, they pride themselves on serving up the finest fare anywhere. In one quick trip, you'll get freshness at your fingertips because they've got everything from farm-fresh local produce and butcher-quality meat to deliciousness from the deli. Quality baked goods, too. Stop in and get set for your best Labor Day yet.
You're listening to Waddle and Sylvie on ESPN 1000.
Chicago's home for sports.
Follow at Waddle and Sylvie and at TWaddle87 on Twitter.
The Bears claimed six players today. We're trying to determine what they're doing with Tajae Sharpe, the wide receiver. There are mixed reports out there on whether or not he's going to be eligible to come back after 4 weeks.
Like, we were under the impression that if you were placed on IR yesterday prior to the release of the 53-man roster, you would be on injured reserve and not eligible to come back. If they placed you on injured reserve today, like the Cowboys have put a couple of their offensive linemen on injured reserve, you're eligible to come back after 4 weeks.
So, like, Fishbane originally said wide receiver Tajae Sharpe was placed on IR. He can return to the roster after four games. Then he tweeted, correction, this was a half hour ago, Tajae Sharpe is not eligible to return from injured reserve because he was placed on IR prior to 3 p.m.
Right. That's what I asked.
So I don't know. So, and then Biggs has a confusing tweet. What did Courtney tell you? She's going to go to Eberflus, right, and to figure this out he speaks?
Yeah, so she's going to circle back. But her understanding is that Tajae would be eligible to return after four games.
Okay.
Hopefully they didn't make a procedural error in terms of how they designated him.
We joke, but Jerry Angelo was a pretty good general manager here. And when he first started, They were checking the wrong boxes on restricted free agents.
So we'll see. We do know that N'Keal Harry will not be placed on IR, which means he'll be ready sooner than the four-week limit, it appears. So if they don't put N'Keal Harry on IR today at 3 o'clock, it means they think they can get him back in on the field prior to the month that he would have to sit out if, in fact, he was placed
on IR. So this is from the NFL here. I'm reading this on their training camp FAQ. This is NFL.com. It says, teams must decide by the 53-man roster cutdown deadline, which was yesterday, whether to place a player on the injured reserve or PUP list. Players placed on this list at that time must miss at least the team's first four games, down from six in seasons prior. So that makes it sound like that starting today, if you are placed on IR, you can come back after four games.
Correct. That's the was my interpretation.
We'll wait for the Bears, and it is Tajay Sharp. So you hope he's going to be good, but you know he's been around the block a little bit.
He may be your two.
Well, I know.
Like, but every healthy guy is going to help.
That's true. Here are some of the some of the mocks were saying before the draft on Alex Leatherwood. He was a guy, again, who played over 1,100 plays for the Raiders last year at guard. He did have a ton of penalties. This is what Kiper and McShay were saying about him. When they were doing like mock drafts and everything like that. Kiper said, I don't think Leatherwood is a top 50 player. And he was mocking him to Pittsburgh at the time. He says, which needs both a guard and a tackle. If McShay is giving the Steelers a running back in round one, I need to get them a player to block. And so he goes on to say,
After he was drafted.
So they surprised me again on Thursday, taking Alex Leatherwood 17th, a full round ahead of where I had him graded. I'm not sold on him being able to hold up as the run tackle where the Raiders want to play him. He played left tackle and right guard at Bama. I thought maybe he'd have to move to guard, which he ended up doing. If there's one thing I know about Gruden after working with him on the draft for several years, it's that he likes football guys, players who eat, sleep, and breathe football, and tough players who will set the tone. Leatherwood eliminates defenders in the run game, but he needs to move his feet better as a pass protector. There were better offensive linemen on the board, and Tevin Jenkins had experience at right tackle.
He's telling you that he would have taken Tevin Jenkins at 17 before he would have taken Leatherwood.
That's interesting.
That's basically what Kiper would have said.
McShay said he had a mocked number 60 to the Saints last year. He says the Saints don't need an immediate walk in the door and start lineman with their current unit, but there isn't much depth there. Leatherwood can play multiple positions and could potentially step in at tackle in New Orleans, isn't able to re-sign Ramchek before the 2022 season. There was also someone on Twitter.
So both of them had Leatherwood as a second-round pick. The Raiders doing Raider things, as they have in the past, surprised a lot of people and selected him 17th overall. That was last year. And he played the entire season.
And he did So he's got a ton of experience.
Yeah.
And you bring him in, you see, and if he doesn't turn out, there's another guy on Twitter who's an offensive line guru. He trains offensive linemen. He was very high on Leatherwood, and he doubled down on him today, saying that he thinks he can be a special player, but he certainly needs development. That he thinks there are things with his footwork that needs to be worked out, that he didn't think that he was ready to play as much as he did last year. But he stands on his point as a guy who grades and works out offensive linemen, that he believes Leatherwood can be a special player. But again, it needs to be with the right staff, with the right fit. And again, with the Bears starting their rebuilding process, they're at the bottom. Why not?
I'd settle for competent. I don't need special right now, but I'd settle for competent. If you give me competent, we can play with that.
Yeah, if you sign starting players for nothing, you know what I mean? Just for $5 million, $6 million a year?
Yeah.
That's good with me.
I think it's interesting as well. I mean, I think this is going to be part of the fun this year as a fan. You know, you're going to watch a team evolve. You're going to see an offense coordinator for the first time. You're going to get a feel for what he likes to do and how successful he will be at molding and developing a young quarterback, a young offensive-minded general manager who played offensive line in the league. He's got some experience, or at least in training camp. It's going to be fun watching them kind of mold this clay.
Who's going to be good? Who's not? Who's going to be? We've always said this. It's one thing to draft a good player. It's another thing to develop him.
In all
sports. Draft and development. It's both. So we'll see what the Bears staff can do, because the last staff could not develop players. 312-332.
We'll identify them.
3776. A few here and there. I want to take your calls. There are some people on hold who want to weigh in on the Bears. The Tony La Russa news. He's out indefinitely getting more medical tests. We don't have any more information than that. And I've got my list. Guys on Twitch, guys on Twitter, I'd like you to see if you could guess who is going to be on my list. You know me. Who will be my most disappointing Chicago sports team from the last 25 years? This list was created based on this year's White Sox team. They're amongst one of the most disappointing teams in the last 25 years in Chicago sports. Who will I deem the most disappointing team from the last 25 years? Waddle, my list. We'll get to that next.